All righty. Thank you so much, beautiful. Are y'all okay if I preach from right here? Well, I don't really care if you're okay. I'm going to do it anyway. Give me 1 second, y'all. How many of you guys are excited to be here? How many excited for God's word? Kind of. Okay. Let me ask you a question real quick. Can I come down on the ground? Sorry, I'm going to be all over the place. So if you have an issue, like I'm super hyperactive. So I love to walk around. Like Pastor Drew is kind of the same way. Like we both love to, we can't just stand still and talk. Like that's just, I don't know if that's necessarily in our nature. So anyway, I love to walk around. And if you have an issue with it, I'm sorry. But yeah, that's how I talk. So anyway, it's going to bug me like that. And never mind. Okay. All right. So I show of hands, who in here likes food? Okay. All right, put your hands down. Show of hands again. Who in here has ever been really, really hungry? Okay. Almost 100%. Okay, awesome. Okay, now one more time. Who in here has ever been so hungry that you will literally eat anything even if it's not like the best quality food? Almost everybody in here, right? Like I'm talking like you hadn't eaten for days or like a day or two and you're really craving some pizza and you get some pizza, but it turns out it's like Little Caesars. Like not the greatest quality, but raise your hand if you've ever been there. You've ever eaten something that's not the highest quality because you were really hungry. All right, cool. So almost everybody in here. Almost everybody in here has been in that moment. And before I really get into my sermon, I want to talk to you guys about something. I want to talk to you about how to get fed. Because when you're really hungry for something, it doesn't matter the quality of it. It doesn't matter who's talking. When you're really hungry for God, if you are actually hungry for God, you will receive something from God. If you're hungry for God right now, if you were hungry for God last week, if you're hungry for God next week, if you are hungry for God when you show up, God will do something in your life. There is no difference between a service here like tonight and Unplugged, other than Unplugged is an event, and a lot of you guys come hungry to receive from God. So I wanted to hit on that because I feel like the Holy Spirit is going to move here tonight. I feel like God is going to touch some of your guys' hearts. And just like he touched Kanye's heart. And I love the story of Kanye. If you don't know it, if you weren't here last week, basically a couple months ago, Kanye gave his life to the Lord. He made this this gospel Christian album, and it's pretty insane. Like I have it on my phone. I listen to it almost daily. It's a really good album. And when I first heard that Kanye had given his life to the Lord, like my first reaction was probably a lot of people's first reaction. It was like, oh, like this is the dude that called himself God. Like 2 years ago. And so my initial instinct was, nah, like nothing, it ain't gonna last. Like this ain't real, this is fake. And I remember going on social media, and I remember looking at like people's comments about the news, and I saw stuff like, oh, we'll see where he's at in like 6 months, or we'll see where he's at in a year, or we'll see where he's at this point. How many of you guys have ever had that thought about Kanye? Like you kind of doubt that he's gonna stay where he's at. Let me just tell you guys, let me walk you through a little scenario real quick, okay? Raise your hand if you've got a really close friend, okay? Hopefully everybody. Raise your hand if you have a friend that's not saved, okay? Now, picture this with me. You invite your friend to church. You've been inviting them for a long time. They finally say yes. They come to church. And during altar, they raise their hand for salvation. Is your reaction going to be, oh, they got saved, but we'll see what happens in 6 months? No, your reaction is excitement because that's your friend. They just got saved. Don't judge other people because you don't know them or because they're a celebrity. We all got crap Kanye went through a bunch of crap, and he's probably done a lot worse stuff than a lot of us have. But that doesn't mean anything. God is the God of grace, and he forgives anybody. It doesn't matter what you've done, how many times you've done it. It doesn't matter. God is the God of grace. So there's no reason for us to be judged because people we don't want people judging us. So I wanted to clarify a bunch of that now that I'm actually able to get into my sermon. Let me run through this. And I'm going to get up here. Last week, Pastor Drew talked about, what was the word he talked about? If you were in junior high, I'm sorry you weren't down here, but we'll fill you in. Anybody remember the word? It's not on the screen or anything, I don't think. No, it's not. It starts with a T. Anybody know? Transformation. So he talked about transformation. And part of transformation is renewing your mind by the reading of what? God's word. So I'm going to kind of go off of that and talk about the same thing with also kind of going into a different subject. But you guys will understand in a second when I explain. But tonight I want to talk about victory. So just like David was up here saying, David was talking about victory. I love that scripture that he brought up because it goes so hand in hand with what God wants to speak to you guys tonight about victory. And the reason I have these little stands stood up is because a lot of times when you hear a sermon about victory, unfortunately, and I've heard a lot of sermons about this, unfortunately, sometimes it's sugar-coated. And we get a sermon, and we get an altar, and when we go to the altar and we have an experience and we're like, okay, I'm good, I'm set free, like I'm going to win from now on, like I have victory, like a lot of times people will tell you, yeah, you're good, like you're done. You're set free from that. You ain't ever going to deal with that again. Like, you're good. Like, in the name of Jesus, go be free and never sin again. Like, this is something that I've heard, like, preached in sermons. And tonight, I'm not here to sugarcoat anything. Like, that's not how victory works. Don't get me wrong. God can supernaturally set somebody free. And in years of addiction, they can be broken free in one instance. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. That can happen. And that can happen here tonight. But I don't just want to talk about victory, but I want to talk about victory as a process. So how many of you guys have ever had a moment in your life, whether if it's at an Unplugged, whether if it's at an altar, whether if it's at like a Heaven Come conference, or any moment at like a church event, anywhere, how many of you have ever experienced a victory in a moment? Raise your hand if you've ever felt like you've experienced a victory. In other words, raise your hand if you've ever encountered God. Because let me tell you something right now, God is victory. Mostly everybody in this room. Maybe not some people, that's okay. But I apologize to the band. So a lot of us in here, and including myself, we've experienced victory. And we've had a moment where we come to the altar and we feel like God saves us and God sets us free from whatever addiction we're in or whatever depression we're dealing with. And we feel so confident because that's the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's something we're supposed to encounter every single day. But we feel so empowered and we're ready to take on the world, right? You guys know that feeling? And then you get home and what happens? It's like nothing happened. It's like you just came here and had the greatest experience of your life, but nothing happened. Because now you're at home and you're back doing the same stuff you were doing before you came to the altar. Let me tell you something. Your victory did not go away. When you accept Jesus into your life, just like that verse that David showed, victory is ours. It is ours. But there is a difference between victory and experiencing victory, and then living in victory. Experiencing victory is a moment that a lot of you have had. But living in victory is a little bit different. When you're living in victory, you're not stuck in addiction and every single day sinning, doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's over there. That's on this side of the room. Right there. That's over there. It says promise. So the process, there are three steps to living in victory, and that is the experience, the process, and the promise. And over there, that's where I want to be. So I want to talk to you guys tonight on how to get there. Can I do that? Sorry, I'm really passionate right now. I love it. Sorry if I start yelling into the mic. That's just my inner, I love preaching and I love to have fun. So anyway, I want to share real quick a small part of my testimony. If you don't know me, if you don't know my testimony, when I was in high school, I got into drugs. I started smoking weed on a daily basis and became a pretty big alcoholic. Like, I would drink all the time. I would go to class when I went to Metro, and literally I would take shots before class. And thank God, like, he took me out of that. He brought me out of that. I don't need that stuff anymore, and it doesn't have any impact in a negative way on my life anymore, because God set me free from that. But while I was in that, I remember the moment that I had decided that I couldn't do that anymore. I got fired from my job, and I just had this turnaround moment, and in my heart and in my mind, I had an experience where I'm going to be victorious over this. I'm not going to do that anymore. What do you think happened the next day? I did it. I was like, oh, pot. That was something I did day after day after day after day. So my body was so used to, okay, Kevin woke up. Let's go do drugs. That's how my body was functioning, because I had created wires inside my head to do that. So the next day after I made this decision, I had this temptation, and I messed up. And immediately I had this guilt inside of me of like, man, I suck. Like, I'm terrible. God must hate me. He must be mad at me. And I remember every single day after I had re-given my life to the Lord, because I grew up in the church. I was saved at one point before I fallen away. But I remember every single day I would get tempted. And a lot of the days it was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I had this confidence. I had the victory. And when you first get saved, like, those of you that have had like an insane like salvation story, you know what I'm talking about when you get saved and you're like, nope, nothing can touch me. Like, that's how it was. Like, a lot of times it was just, it had no effect on me. But my flesh wanted what it had had for the last 3 years. And so I had went from this moment of, I just experienced victory, and it's so hard. Because all I want is, all my flesh wants is not what I need. And I want to talk to you guys tonight. I want to talk about a story in the Bible of somebody that is a great example of going through a process. Raise your hand if you know who Joseph is. Okay? If you don't know who Joseph is, let me fill you in just real quick. So Joseph, this guy's a dreamer. The story about Joseph is in Genesis. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go there real quick. So go to Genesis. But the story of Joseph is a dreamer, and God is giving Joseph these crazy dreams. And if you know the story, you know these aren't like just crazy dreams. These are like psycho dreams. These are like, if God gave me these dreams, I ain't telling nobody, because people are going to think I'm a woohoo. These are dreams that are like, look, Joseph, all of your brothers are going to bow down to you. Imagine going to your siblings and telling them to bow down to you. Yeah, that ain't how it works. And other dreams were like, hey, the planets are going to bow down. Like, there are these crazy dreams. And his dad loves them. His dad adores Joseph, and the brothers are super jealous because their dad likes Joseph more than them. And that brings us to where we're at. So he tells them these dreams. They get super upset with him. Anyway, a couple days later, his dad comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, your brothers are tending the flock. Can you go check on them? Check on them and bring me back a report. So if you can pull up Genesis, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to start at verse 18. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him. Let's throw him into one of these cisterns. How many of you guys have friends or know people in your life that want to kill your dreams? This dude was a dreamer. And the people that he was around were trying to kill his dreams. Guys, Satan doesn't want you to accomplish your dreams. Satan doesn't want you to get out of where you're stuck. He doesn't want you to get to where you want to go. He doesn't want you to get all the way over there. Satan wants to keep you exactly where he's at. And if you have friends that do that, they ain't your friends. And if you hang around people that do that, this is how you know. if you're always talking about like, guys, I want to do this or I want to do that or I want to be here, and they're always like telling you how hard that's going to be for you, you need to just separate yourself from them. Because I remember my friends, like, we would have these conversations all the time. Like, we would wake up and we would smoke and we would drink. And I remember we'd have these conversations and we would legitimately, these were actual conversations. Guys, you know we can't do this forever. Like, eventually, we have to grow up and get real jobs and, like, we can't just sit around all day and do this stuff. And I would bring up these conversations and I remember my friends would be like, yeah, you're right, but we all know you're the last one that that's going to happen to. Turns out I was the first one that that happened to, and they're the ones that text me now, and they're like, hey, can you pray for me? Can you help me out with this? Like, can you walk me through this? Because I took myself away from what was holding me down. So anyway, let's get back. Sorry, sidetrack. So we can tell Father a wild animal had eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of these dreams. But when Reuben heard of their schemes, he came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him, he said. Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into one of these empty cisterns here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without laying a hand on him. Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. If you know the story of Joseph, a few verses later, Reuben doesn't end up rescuing him. There's actually, like, the very next verse, there's this wagon coming, and there are these traders that are with them, and basically their brothers decide they're going to sell Joseph. So they sell Joseph, and Joseph is now being sold into slavery. Joseph just had these dreams, this experience, this encounter where he was like, oh my goodness, God has taken me places. And the very next step is part of the process. The very next step is somewhere he did not think he was going to be. How many of you guys ever feel like God told you something or God showed you something, but then the very next thing that happens to you does not, in your opinion, line up with what God said? Yeah, if you have a relationship with God, it either has happened or it will happen. But that's because God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and we don't know. But that's what brings me into my second portion here, is the process. And this is the part that's often not hit on. This is the part that when we talk about victory, a lot of times this part right here isn't talked about, because what I'm going to try to do right now is I'm going to try to walk through this. I'm going to try to walk through this without touching anything and without going to the sides. Because when we experience that victory, now we want to get over there, because I'm still being tempted by the same stuff that had me held down, that had me addicted. So now I want to live in the promise that God has given me. So I got big feet, so literally, yep, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so anyway, I didn't touch like 6 different things. So what this is supposed to represent the junk that is still in my life. And now I'm trying to move around this, and I literally can't. And every time I touch something, God, I messed up. I'm terrible. I'm horrible. Like, you must be so mad at me. You must hate me. And a lot of you guys used to have, or probably have, the same thought process that I used to have about God. And this is the process right here. The process to get to living in victory is exactly what Pastor Drew hit on last week, and it's renewing your mind by the reading of God's word. Because this is what used to happen, is I would fall, I would sin, and I felt like I had to go all the way back to the start. If you have that mindset about God, then to you, God is a tyrant. And that's not who God is. God is a good father. And when you renew your mind, when you read in the Bible, look, this thing right here is the only thing that will bring you to freedom. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the guy that wrote all of this, is the only person that can bring you to freedom. Not yourself, because I will try to do this, and I'll try to maneuver through it, but every time I will fall, and it will never be good enough for me. But this is what God is saying. God is saying, Kevin, focus on me. Focus on me. Okay, now come on, start walking. It's okay, come on, keep walking. It's okay, come on, you got this, Kevin. And it doesn't matter how many times you fall, how many times you mess up, there is victory even in your loss, even in your highs, and even in your lows. When I sin, Guys, I wish, if you can get to this point, this is one of the most revolutionary like moments in my life when I came to the conclusion that I don't have to wallow in my sin for hours. When I sin, what I used to do is I used to like take naps and be like, I'm going to sleep for like 2 hours. And then when I wake up, then I'll talk to God. And I wasted my entire day away. But now it's at a point where, look, I still sin. You're going to sin. You're going to mess up. I'm promising you that. But how you respond, how you view God will completely change how you live your life. Because when I mess up now, that's exactly how it is. It doesn't matter if I mess up. Because God says, look, Kevin, I don't want you to live in your guilt or in your shame. I didn't create that for you. I created conviction that was a good thing for you that's meant for you to rise up and be drawn toward God. And when you're in the process, eventually you're renewing your mind. You're doing different things. You're hanging out with different people. Eventually God's going to bring you to a point where now there's all that behind me. And now there's still some stuff that wants to trip me up, but it's not that. Look at all that. I can't get through that, but now I'm like, okay, I'm not going to hang out with that person because they're going to make me want to do something I shouldn't do. I'm not going to watch that movie because all they do is talk about the entertainment of drugs and I don't want to do that. And this is the process that God wants to take. The process, guys, I'm just being straight up honest. Like, the process sometimes sucks and it hurts because you have to go through the valley. You have to go through stuff to break the stuff that you've been addicted to, the stuff that you've been struggling with. But it's not impossible if you are focused on God. It's not impossible if God is part of the equation. It is impossible if God is not a part of the equation. If you try to work through that all on your own, you're not going to do it. I'm just being straight up, not sugarcoating. You ain't that talented. You ain't that good. We were not created to get through our sin, to get through our addiction, to get through our struggles alone. That requires God, and it requires other people around us. So if you're not in a small group and you don't have a community of other believers, you need to get in one. Because let me tell you, one of the most life-changing, defining moments, I remember when I had first re-gotten saved again, it was about a month after, I remember I texted one of my mentors, and I was like, hey, I'm like really tempted right now, like I kind of want to smoke. And this dude, I still have the text. I have it screenshotted, and I will never delete it. He said, you smoke, I'll smoke you. This guy is significantly older than me, so it actually, like, through the text, I could hear his voice talking to me. But that's what you need. You need a focus on God, and you need other people around you. Because when you're walking through the process, the entire time, you're focusing on the promise. You're focusing on God. You're renewing your mind. And that's when we get up here. That's when we get to the promise. Now, right here, this is not somewhere that is easy to get to. Honestly, like, a lot of my life is right here. But if I'm focused on the promise, then this isn't impacting me in a terribly negative way. This is just, I'm still going toward that promise because I'm always dealing with things. I'm always dealing with sin. I'm always dealing with past things, and you guys are dealing with sin. You guys are dealing with addiction. You guys are dealing with depression. You guys are dealing with all of these things. Some of the things you put on you, some of the things this world puts on you. But look, focus on that. Focus on the promise, because I want to talk to you guys about the promise here real quick, because there are promises all throughout the word. And band, if you guys need to move that or whatever you need to do, cool. One more time, raise your hand if you've read or heard the story of Joseph. Okay, and I will count watching it on VeggieTales. So if you know the story of Joseph, but we're at the part, Joseph is now sold into slavery. Joseph is now in Egypt. And he is a slave. Now he's in prison because Potiphar's wife wants him to sleep with her. Joseph is in literally the deepest, darkest, most bottomless pit time of his life. Now I want you guys to ask me, as somebody that reads the story, are you guys worried about Joseph? Why aren't you worried about Joseph? Okay. Do you guys know what happens? We know what happens. We know that he is going to become this great authority in the kingdom, and he's going to have a lot of power, and he's going to have a lot of influence. But we know that. But Joseph doesn't get to read chapters 39 and 40 when he's stuck in chapters 38. And sometimes we're stuck in our own chapter. And we feel like there's no way out. But God sees our next chapter. God sees the next 2, 3, 4 chapters of our life. And nobody else might, we didn't know this was coming. But God knew it was coming. And God knows what's here, and he knows what's there. All throughout the Bible, we experience this. Never once do I read a story in the Bible now, unless I've never read it before, and I get worried about the person because I know how it ends. I know where it's going. David overcomes Goliath. I know this dude had confidence, but you know he's probably shaking in his, like, boots. He's going up against somebody, like, 10 times taller than him. The dude had confidence, but he didn't know the next step. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in the furnace. They're about to be thrown into the furnace. Literally, it is impossible to survive what they are about to be thrown into. But we know what happens next. Abraham and Sarah, they get promised this child, and they're both like 100 years old. They have no idea how it's going to happen. But they don't know the next chapter of their story. We do. And God knows the next story, the next chapter in your guys' life. There's only one instance in the Bible where what is happening, the person that is in the darkest place in that moment knows what's happening after. That's Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he is hanging there, and he knows what's about to happen. He knows because he knows God's plan. And God is saying, I know your plan. I know your plan. That's why I'm still fighting for you. That's why I'm still allowing you to do this. And you guys say, Kevin, you're telling us stories that are 2,000 years old. These are not 2,000 years old. Kanye West just happened. God changed my life. God changed Pastor Drew's life. God changed so many lives of people in this room. And Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means that when he says in John that you will have troubles in this world, that's right here. He's promising us we're going to have this, but he also makes the promise, take hold. I have overcome the world. Romans says overwhelming victory is whose? Is ours. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. That means if you focus on that promise, if you understand the promise and you renew your mind with the promise, that is the process. Because look, overwhelming victory is mine. It doesn't matter what tries to shake me up. It doesn't matter what I mess up with, because overwhelming victory is mine, and I don't have to be stuck in this crap. I don't have to be stuck in my addiction and in my sin. Stand with me. Guys, what I'm sensing right now is kind of a little bit of confusion. I'm sensing the Holy Spirit, and I'm sensing some conviction. Look, if you're experiencing conviction right now, that's not bad. That's not meant to tear you down, to make you feel bad about yourself. That's meant to draw you to God. That's not something you want to ignore. But I know some of you in here might not know what this feeling is like outside of an unplugged. And I want to reemphasize what I talked about at the beginning. Look, God wants to set you guys free. God wants to walk you through this process. God wants to lead you out of your addiction. God wants to help you get through the bullying that you're going through at school. God wants to help get you through the depression that you're dealing with. God wants to help get you through that divorce that you're going through with your parents. God wants to get you through it. This is not unplugged. This is a Wednesday night, nothing special about it other than the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus is here. The power of the living God is here. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, the same power that saved Kanye West, the same power that is at an unplugged is right here. I know David basically, Holy Spirit, I know he's leading, because literally the call that David gave, it's the same call for right now. And I want to re-give that opportunity for anybody else that didn't respond. But first off, and we're not judging. Look, if I lived my life and I still cared about what other people thought, I would not be where I am today. Responding here, coming to the altar, is some of the greatest moments in my life. Look, I do not remember sermons from 5, 6, 7 years ago. You know what I remember? Encounters right here. So every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here and you're saying, Kevin, I don't even know what this victory that you're talking about is. I don't relate. I don't understand. I've never accepted Jesus into my life, so I don't know how to get this victory. Look, victory comes when Jesus enters your life. Jesus is victory. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus in your life, and tonight you want to commit yourself to the Lord, you want to commit yourself to giving your life to God. If that's you, go ahead and just slip up your hand. And in 1 second, I'm going to ask you guys to respond. But I have another call for everybody else in the room. Maybe you're saved and you have a relationship with God, but you're still stuck right here. You still keep coming here for the experience. And that's what you're living off of. You come for the experience, but then you go home and it's the same thing. And you haven't walked through this. Because right there, that feels good. But that's just a moment. An experience is a moment. Living in victory is a daily life, is daily moments. So if you're in this room and you're stuck right there, and you're stuck in an addiction and in pornography or in depression, or you're stuck dealing with something that is battling in your head and it hurts you and it tears you down. If that's you and you want to be set free tonight, if you want the freedom of the Holy Spirit to empower you tonight to walk through this process, if that's you, I want you to raise up your hand. Okay. I don't need to lead anymore. If you guys want to respond, please respond. If you raise your hands, look, don't care about what other people think. I promise you what God wants to do There is a response in our heart and then a physical response of coming to the altar. What God wants to do in you is greater than what anybody else can give you. So if that's you, if you raise your hand for either of those things, I want you guys to come forward. Come to the altar. There will be leaders walking around. If you guys need prayer, if you just accepted Jesus in your life. But if that's you, go ahead and come up.
Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, 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 you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, your silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you made the darkness tremble. Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, Jesus, you made the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your silence.
Oh,
Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we sing your name. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. As your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. I know your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive forever.
Come on, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. This is a declaration of victory right here, that Jesus overcomes. Come on, sing this with a declaration in your voice, with a power in your voice, with everything you got. Declare this to the victor. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the victor. We thank you, Lord, that you bring victory, that you are victorious. We thank you, Lord, that thousands of years ago, Lord, you conquered. You brought victory over death, hell, and the grave. And ever since then, God, we don't have to live in crap. We can live in your love. We can live in your grace. We can live in your victory, God. God, I thank you for every single person in here. I thank you for the work that you're doing in their hearts. God, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to people, for moving in people, for drawing people to you. God, I pray, Lord, that when we walk out of this room, that this would not stay an experience or a moment, but this would be the start of a process of looking at you, keeping our eyes focused on you, God. Lord, a process of going toward that promise, that victory, and renewing our mind to get there, God. Lord, you are so amazing. You're so good. We thank you for everything that you do and everything that you are, Jesus. Everybody say, God. Say, God. You are victory. You are victory. God, thank you for your victory. God, I pray that we go with the attitude of victory everywhere we walk, everything, every sin that we go through, every addiction that we struggle with. God, Lord, we walk in it with the mindset that you are victory. God, chains broken here tonight, set free in the process. Lord, started tonight. We love you and we thank you. You are good. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Pastor Drew, you got anything? Or are we good? JD and Pastor Drew got stuck.
Hey, so sign up for, if you want to try out for the talent show, try out. If you want to sign up for the New Year's Eve bash, sign up out in the lobby.
That's it. Awesome. Awesome. Can we give Kevin a hand real quick? Thank you, brother, for being faithful. I love it. I love it. And one thing I always want to set as a precedent is, remember, we're a whole bunch of messed up people doing this thing together, right? And so when we see people fall and get tripped up and all this stuff, we smile because we go, we know where you're going. It's all right. You're just right here because I'm right there as well. We give each other grace. We receive grace from each other. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Hey, I want to see y'all here next week. We're going to be dressing up, looking nice for the shindig. Come on over. We got a talent show. We got a lot of fun. And we got some AirPods to give out. Do you guys remember that? Remember that? We got a raffle ticket for every person that you invite. Unless you invite 5 or more, then you get 2 per person. Invite 10 or more, 3 per person. And everybody you invite gets 2 tickets themselves, okay? So let's do it. Come on. I'll see y'all next week. Love you guys.